Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that are no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. And we can dance. Oh, we can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Wednesday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford with you today, as it is the bottom, folks. This is it. This is the bottom of the valley.
The deepest, darkest pit
of the sports calendar every single year. The day
you
after
really
the All-Star
adopted
game.
The darkness. I was born in it.
That was Bane.
Yeah, I knew that one, actually.
From the movie.
I've actually seen those movies.
So you've seen that? Oh, good. Got you. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of you, bud.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. So you should know.
It's all uphill from here. Which, wait, downhill? That's tricky, you know, because people talk mountaintops and valley, but uphill's bad.
But pit. If you're in the pit, you're it's uphill.
Right.
To get out.
Like, it's all downhill from here, but it's confusing.
But climbing the mountain is the goal.
Right, but that's the hard part.
It's confusing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put those two things together.
I'm not sure where I stand on uphill versus downhill.
Yeah,
smooth sailing. We'll just say it's smooth sailing.
You're more of a water guy anyway. Right?
Yeah, fishing, yeah. I'm a water boats, guy, 100%. It's smooth sailing from here.
All right.
We're out of the storm.
Chop.
We're just waiting on a little bit of a breeze. Or we'll just, fire up the motor and get on in there. But, yeah, I don't know if it's uphill, downhill. I just go smooth sailing.
Hmm.
Will you join me on the no more uphill, downhill, just smooth sailing?
I don't know. I like it's all downhill from here.
Unless it's uphill, and then you look like an idiot.
I used to work one of my summer jobs. Our boss would say that, and every time he would say that, something would go wrong. Like, it became a thing. You know, it'd be after lunch. You'd think the hardest part of the day was done. He'd go, well, boys, it's all downhill from here. And then something would break. Truck would break down.
Mm.
Somebody would say we hadn't done something right. We had to redo it. It was always something. But this is it. Like, if you've wanted us to weigh in on some weird off-the-wall topic, like, today's the day to maybe tweet again, because we might get to
it. I don't know. Well, maybe. But I don't know, man. A lot of things happened yesterday.
Yeah?
A lot of things.
Well, I mean, kind of a continuation of Optimism Tuesday. I mean, the football world, 24/7 Sports, put out their list. Top 10 sleeper teams. 2019, we already got the FBI just blowing smoke, saying we're going to go 9-3 over here on the hill.
That's why we got to go downhill, because we're on the hill. It's Tennessee. Like, I feel like smooth sailing. Like,
that's why I want Haynes King, so he can be king of the hill.
Oh, that's a good point.
Damn it, Bobby.
He hasn't decided yet.
But, Dad, I want to be a rodeo clown.
That's pretty good.
I used to be better at Hank. Now the Bobby, it's almost right there. You really almost can't even tell the difference.
But, Dad, I want Tennessee to win football games. I want that kid from Texas.
Bobby, he's going to Texas, and then he's going to be a Dallas Cowboy. I'll work on the Hank, sorry.
Yeah, you got to get back.
I want Haynes King of the Hill, though. But right now, there's another King of the Hill. You mentioned Tennessee is a top sleeper. Whew, we'll get to that. You know who else is a top sleeper?
Who?
As potentially one of the best quarterbacks in the country? Apparently, Jerry Garantano.
My guy.
Billy's guy.
I mean, and I'd like to knock Billy a little bit, but he did pick Jerick Garantano as his MVP choice on offense, so credit to Billy. That works out. But there was an ESPN Insider article yesterday that a little blind resume stat comparison between Jerick Garantano and one of the guys expected to go maybe number one overall in this year's draft class at quarterback. You want to know who had the better per-pass stat average? We'll get to it. Very close. Very, very close on the statistics. But I'll tell you where I want to start.
Where do you want to start?
The tennis NBA E Summer League. No, it didn't work. Did it?
No.
10-BA Summer League. T-E-N-N-B-A. Hmm. 10-BA. So there were three Tennessee players in action yesterday. Did you watch any of this, Nate?
No.
It's okay. Me and Billy will handle it. Ain't that right, Billy? Because we're locked in.
I watched every minute, almost.
I did too. Except somehow, I take that back. I didn't watch any of Admiral's game. It came on too late. I'm like 11:30. You stayed up and watched that?
I watched a few minutes of it. He had 5 points.
Are you one of these people who doesn't sleep?
Billy doesn't.
You people freak me out. Just calling it like a seat.
Got to provide insight for the listener.
Big Grant Williams gets the start in Boston, for Boston in Vegas yesterday. What did he do? Oh, nothing much. Just dropped 16 points and led the team again, I might add, in the plus-minus stat.
Plus 57 through three games.
Plus 57.
Wow.
Do you know how that stat works? Do you know what the average plus-minus is for an NBA player?
What?
Zero. The average NBA player, according to this statistic, and granted, this is not the NBA. This is Summer League, so this isn't the best players in the league.
Buddy, do you know what plus minus is?
Yeah.
It has to be zero.
Okay.
It's the plus minus.
Well, I asked you, and you didn't know, so I was just telling you. So now all of a sudden you're saying, duh, you have to know. Maybe people didn't know that.
Right? Am I crazy here?
No, it makes
sense. Isn't the plus minus just what yes, the points but the, are when
well,
you're
then
the
why didn't you give that answer when I asked the question, smarty pants? So I give you the answer, and you're like, buddy, it has to be that. It's like, yeah, I know, because that's
I
what the stat
I didn't know
is.
You were going to –
Exactly. You didn't know. So now you know. And now a lot of people who are listening probably know. The average is zero. Grant Williams plus 57. It's a 100 possession statistic. How many points better are you out of 100 possessions compared to your opponent? Grant Williams has gone 21-20, and last night I believe he was plus 16. He was actually, I don't know if you saw this, Billy, he was actually plus 21 until the stupid idiots hit that last late shot and dropped him down. He was soaring. Again, big Grant, 16 points, like it's nothing. You're thinking, okay, good job, Grant. Then I learned that secret Kyle Alexander damn near snuck around and got a double-double.
In 13 minutes.
10 points, Nate. 8 rebounds. How many minutes?
13.
In 13 minutes? Buddy, that's
showing out.
That's domination.
4 for 5 from the field.
And he had been struggling from the field.
And he even missed 2 free throws.
Could have had 12-8. Should have had 12-8. How many free throws did he make?
2.
50%. Got to work on that. We'll work on that, Kyle. Get in the gym, bud. We're rooting for you. I mean, I couldn't be more impressed. And then Admiral, you know, he had the late game. I was thinking, I hope he gets to play. He didn't play well. What happens? Oh, he gets the start. Okay. That's cool. I like that.
Played the most minutes on the team as
well. Oh, got the start and played the most minutes. Hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Nate?
I mean, we've said he's going to
be. But then the question is, right? Then the question, like, can he do anything with those minutes?
Uh-huh.
You know, can he find himself? Can he be productive for his team? Led the team in scoring.
I repeat, led the Wizards in scoring.
I mean,
he was the only Wizard in double figures.
I mean,
only starter.
I thought his game
Wagner off the bench had 13.
Translate to the NBA quicker than even Grant Williams.
26 minutes, 4 of 9, only 1 of 4 from 3. Listen to this though. Went to the free throw line, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. That's probably more free throws than he attempted in SEC play this past season.
Yeah, it probably is. You're probably right.
And we said this, he'll get to the NBA. Other guys are big too. They'll call the fouls that he deserves when he goes to the rack. He also grabbed 5 rebounds, chucked out an assist, had a block, no turnovers. Big Admiral, big Grant, big Kyle. Kyle, that's one of the most impressive performances from him I think I've ever seen.
Was this day 8 or day 9 of Summer League?
I'll defer to Billy on that one.
I think it ends on Thursday, and then the tournament starts on Friday.
Now there's a tournament. Okay.
You have a champion.
Hmm?
And it looks like, I mean, the Heat are 3-0. Boston's 3-0. I think the Pistons are 3-0 as well. Like, there might be.
Wow.
If the Wizards can.
Wizards are 1-2.
Yeah, they definitely need to win their next game. And I think that is on.
Well, they got to stop giving these bozos on the bench extended minutes. Bonga, 16 minutes. He was minus 14. Davis Jr., only 8 minutes, and he was minus 15. Woeful. And then Allen, 17 minutes, minus 16. Get those guys out of here. Roll with the big dogs. Get Wagner in the starting lineup. And leave Schofield right where he's at. Because the guy, and when he gets hot from three, when the threes start falling, oh, buddy, look out for Big Sco. He's going to do some things.
He's only attempted over 7 free throws twice the past 2 seasons.
That's incredible.
Boy. We may get called out from time to time for being Barnes bashers, but when it comes to knowing the game of basketball, this show has it.
I feel like you're kind of breaking down JV basketball here, though. Like, you're complaining that some teams aren't playing there. Like, isn't this just for development? Like, don't they not care if they're winning or losing the games? Aren't they trying to get these guys ready for, you know, the real deal, you know, varsity basketball?
Yeah. But you play to win the game.
My point is, I don't think the standings really matter to the teams. Now, it does matter when I'm not disagreeing that it matters that Admiral had a good day. I mean, that's the whole point. Is trying to see who's got it.
That's what we're really talking about. I don't care about the tournament, but
I
care about if we're going to show out or not. And Admiral got 26 minutes. I mean, he did exactly what you're supposed to do.
Mm.
You know, if you're going to get the most minutes, you better be one of the most productive players. And he was, led the team in scoring. I still can't get over Kyle. What should have been 12 points, 10 and 8 in 13 minutes? He never did he do that. If he could have done that for every game at Tennessee, we're undefeated, baby. And then Grant being Grant. I don't know how else to describe it. Just Grant being Grant. Did you see the half? Well, no, you didn't because you didn't watch. Halftime interview. It's all the Celtics rookies on the set with Doris Burke. We got a Celtics shirt here. We got a Nike jersey here. We got an Adidas hoodie here. What did Grant wear? Tennessee Rifleman t-shirt.
We didn't deserve him.
Reppin'. We didn't deserve any of these guys, really.
Special players.
I think they were all so good that they detracted from each other's potential.
Hmm.
I think this was... We were too good. What? I mean, Kentucky, hello. They're too good every year. Haven't won a championship in forever.
You know how many? You know who Grant Williams is tied with in points per game in the summer league?
No.
Zion Williamson.
Well, Zion played like half a game and then got hurt. Did he play two games?
I did points per game, though, to, you know, just it's an average.
No, I'm pretty sure he only played like 10 minutes.
They're both averaging 11 points, just saying.
He had 11 in 10 minutes.
9 minutes then.
And Grant was shooting better from the floor.
That's what I was saying, though. You can't look at those stats. Like, he got blocked four times. I don't even know if he made a shot outside the paint. It was not impressive.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, go ahead and shoot it, buddy. No problem. Grant Williams last night, 29 minutes, 6 of 12, 0 from 4 from 3. Again, same thing with Admiral. Once those threes start falling, because you know he's worked on his outside shot.
Yeah.
It's going to be OV. 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. He did have 2 turnovers, 4 personal fouls, 16 points, plus 16, highest plus minus on the team.
Do need to add Jarnell Stokes got the start for Portland.
Look at them. They're all starting.
23.
What if Bone gets the start today?
Could. 23 minutes, 6 points, 12 rebounds.
Woo. 12 rebounds.
Four assists. Four assists.
He always was a pretty good post passer. So was Grant. My goodness.
Pistons at 3 o'clock today?
Pistons at 3. The Bone Zone.
Are we getting to the point to where I know we're real early on these guys because they're just rookies and we're talking about summer league games, but you could put together a pretty stout Tennessee basketball roster in the NBA.
When's the last time you could say that?
I mean, you could put together at least 5 that could, with Richardson, Harris, Williams, Schofield, and Bone.
Stokes off the bench. There you go.
And then throw Alexander in there. You got 7. I bet you would win more games than the Knicks.
Can we go get Kevin Punter from overseas? He's like leading that league's history in scoring.
We need some guard depth. Yeah.
I don't know why he's not
Rick Barnes
in here.
Agrees. Why he's not what?
I don't know why Kevin Punter doesn't have a shot at the summer
he's
league.
He's probably making more money this overseas league and scoring every
maybe
year.
Maybe he's falling in love with wherever he is.
I mean, he really is like a megastar in that league. He broke the record for a single playoff, not season, one particular playoff year, he broke the record for points, and he's broken the record for overall points in the playoffs, period, for that league. He's a baller.
He's the Michael Jordan of...
Basically, yes, air punters. We are punter you, so it really kind of plays when you think about it.
I'm pretty sure Jordan McRae and Scotty Hobson are in the league as well.
McRae is with...
They're both on two-way deals. McRae's with the Wizards, right?
Yeah.
And Hobson's with the Cavs.
Is that right? He's with the Wizards?
I thought so.
I thought I saw him behind
maybe
one of the
not
benches
anymore.
Yesterday. Right.
I thought he was last year.
Just a really big day for Tennessee basketball, you know, in the pros, not actual Tennessee basketball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The only thing that happened yesterday was they canceled the media availability. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee did make, we talked about this, the top 5 for Jaden Springer. So there's some positive news. Still not sure if they're going to fill this one scholarship left in this class or hold it for 2020. As of now, they have 2 spots for the 2020 class. Is that right? I thought I heard Russell say that yesterday. I thought it was at least 4 total. And they've only got Corey Walker committed now. Keon Johnson commits in August.
Yeah, I mean, Bowden and Turner are both seniors.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
And there's an open spot for Burns. That's 3. I'm sure I'm missing.
Is there any other senior that it would be gone? So, I mean, if that's the case, then Russell's right because they would only have 2 left. But for some reason, I was thinking it was going to be 4 or potentially 5. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe I'm miscalculating all the time. But I guess theoretically you could have, you know, a transfer. Because, yeah, you lose Lamonte Turner, you lose Bowden, that's it.
Burns is gone, that's 3.
And then Derek Walker.
Right? They've already filled that one.
They filled that one. So I guess
that was Cam Hua.
That's how Russell got to that number then. So there's 3, and then Walker's already in the class. Corey Walker.
Yeah, he's committed.
Right.
So 2 more now.
2 spots.
Felt like there was more, didn't it? Am I crazy? Did it not feel like there were more?
I guess
you can look down the list. I'm not sure of, you know, who all is on scholarship or who maybe they kind of expect to leave after this next year. There's always the opportunity that you lose a couple guys to, you know, the Derek Walker process or the DJ Burns process for that matter.
So Bailey counts for next season too, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's officially on. He's technically, I guess, redshirting, sitting out this year, and he'll have 2 years to play when he's cleared next year.
Yeah, he'll be a junior this year.
Wow.
Yeah, that...
We were off on that math, I think. I don't know why. I thought it was like 4 or 5. Now it's 3. Still could be 4 or 5, like I said. Things happen.
I guess in my head, like, I don't know. It's weird. I guess, you know, Ponce Jr.
Now the black shirt, we got that one open anyway.
And Victor Bailey is a junior. But, I mean, he was going to redshirt anyway.
Right. Anyway, all that to say, you got two spots left as it stands.
Obviously, get on that development.
Keon Johnson in August is probably your top target right now. And then, obviously, being in the top five for Jaden Springer, you're gonna zero in on him pretty fast. But let's not forget Billy's man, Bryce Thompson, who he really, really wants. There's a couple more kids. There's another
PJ
kid.
PJ Hall, too.
Is that
Post, right?
Yeah, is he the big kid from South Carolina?
Yeah.
I don't know what the plan is. I mean, you can't say no to Keon Johnson. You can't say no to Corey Walker. Guy's a 5-star. Both these guys are probably 5. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Somebody might have to get. But that's the job. That's the job. It's different in basketball,
well,
right?
Because James might be so good that he's done.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, seriously.
No, you're absolutely right. It's weird with basketball, though, because you fall in love with the entire roster. Like, you kind of feel like you know everybody, so you don't want to talk about who might get processed. With football, it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, look at this 85. I don't even recognize that guy. Yeah, just run him out of here. It's a little different with basketball. Emotional attachment, especially when you consider the success they had over the last 2 seasons. Even though these guys weren't, you know, the lightning rod for that success, when they're on the team and you get to know them a little bit with all the great social media stuff that Tennessee did with that basketball team. It's tough to talk about. But I can look at the roster and find a couple that, you know, maybe should look elsewhere if they don't see significant minutes this year. But we might need them for depth this year. Very important.
If you're this excited for the summer league, man, I don't know if I'll be able to stand you this winter.
What do you mean? For
like NBA?
These guys are going to be playing a lot more now. And these games don't really matter. And it's the dead of summer when there's not much going on. So I can focus a little more on the NBA Summer League.
Gotcha. So you don't expect to be watching like every Celtics game?
No, buddy.
During the season?
No. But I will wake up every day and check box scores. I mean, it used to be very popular around here when we had players in the NFL to do the Vols in the NFL.
That's true.
Segment.
It was a segment.
You could do stats, everybody. You know, fantasy breakdown for guys like Denarius Moore and Cordarrelle Patterson and so on and so forth. What did Peyton do yesterday? Haven't had as many in the NFL lately, so that's tough. But now, maybe we are a basketball school. I mean, we are until we aren't. So, yeah, just enjoy the ride.
Okay.
We printed the shirts, all right? We've still got some we've got to get rid of. But okay. Balls in the NBA Summer League. It's been, I don't know, like, did you have expectations on these guys? Like, is this what you expected? Because, frankly, for me, I didn't know anything about the NBA Summer League. They're all exceeding expectations. They've all come out. I know Bones only played one game, but they've had their ups and downs. But then yesterday, all three that played from last year's squad looked the part, man. Like Kyle, that's an unbelievable 13 minutes for Kyle Alexander. I don't care who he's playing against. 8 rebounds in 13 minutes. Did he ever do that here?
No. Never.
Wasn't getting paid enough. Admiral Schofield gets the start after being off the bench in 2 games. What does he do? Leads the team in scoring in minutes. Grant Williams is Grant Williams. And let's not forget, Grant Williams is having to play with known black hole Carson Edwards. Mm-hmm. You give him the ball, he's going to figure out a way to shoot it. He looked really good last night, too. He was hitting just some stuff.
Well, he was on the list of, like, standouts.
That's what worries me, but also doesn't worry me about Grant. Celtics fans and national media are going to watch the Celtics play in the summer league, and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, Carson Edwards, look at him run around and just shoot from wherever. Wow, he's so exciting. Wow, look at Taco Fall. He's 7'7". This guy's a monster. He's a freak show. Wow, these two guys are so exciting. And then you just look, and what's happening? Grant Williams filling the stat sheet, leading the team in plus minus, playing the best basketball of anybody on the floor. The unsung hero. Who never got enough credit because he's humble and smart.
I'm on record saying I think Grant will start next season earlier than most people will think. When everyone was saying Admiral will be the first starter, I went Grant. I know it was the first round draft pick, but I just think Brad Stevens loves him, like you said.
Yeah.
He doesn't need all the media hype. He just goes, plays ball, does his thing.
I also feel like this won't be too big for Grant. And maybe the lack of media hype will be a good thing. I still don't think it would have mattered. But a lot of rookies in professional leagues, regardless of the sport, it takes the acclimation period. I mean, you talk about when guys get to college, they hit the freshman wall, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, about game 8 or 9, they realize they're not in high school anymore, and we've still got 4 or 5 to go, plus a bowl game. And now, you know, a lot of these guys in the NBA, it's going to be a very similar thing. You're playing a lot more games. It's a lot more travel. It's a lot more just stress. You're getting paid, which is great, but more money, more problems. I don't think that's going to be anything that phases Grant. I think he's the perfect fit to be, in a way, like the third most popular rookie, but also probably the best of the three. When you're talking about, to quote him, and now Brad Stevens, impacting winning. Who started that, by the way, Billy? Was Grant the first to say impact winning? Because last night, you know who said it? Brad. In a pregame interview, they said, he was asked about Grant Williams, and he said, Grant is one of the guys on this team, one of the few guys who can change his game significantly based on what he's been doing in the past and still impact winning.
I think that was Grant's thing in pregame interviews.
It was, yeah.
I just want to do what I can
exactly
to help the team win.
I think Brad Stevens is like, I like that.
Hang the
banner. I'm stealing that.
I mean, it could be the other way around.
Like, could be.
That might be
Brad I never heard Stevens Brad Stevens say it before.
Thing.
What? And that's why I asked the question, Nate. I mean, I know it could have been Brad. That's why I asked who said it first. But I'm going with Grant. Could have gone to Harvard. You know, I'm just saying he could have.
Yeah, but he came to Tennessee, and he's.
But now he got back to Boston anyway.
Still repping the brand. It is gonna be fun. It's nice to have some guys to watch that you're familiar with, especially if you're not if you don't have an NBA diehard. If you know you don't have a team, you can kind of pull your Tennessee guys on as they play at the next level. We'll come back. You're listening to 3 and Out Wednesday edition right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios. Just
pulling back the curtain for old Billy. Sorry, Billy.
Sometimes we have too much fun during the commercial break.
Yeah. We can't share that news, though. That's,
oh, no. That's
anonymity is important in this business.
True.
Lock it up, Billy. Lock it up.
You got to have secrets. Stuff you just take to the grave.
Any further thoughts on Vols in the summer league?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm with you. It makes sense to watch. I used to do this with preseason NFL football a lot. There'd be certain rookies that weren't the like stud, you know, top half of the first round picks, and I'd really want to watch and see how good I think they might be down the road. And so I would specifically, you know, buy the preseason streaming package and then, you know, fast forward to the third quarter of the second week's game to see some running back who's third on the depth chart but who I thought could be really good or something. So, you know, it's you guys are just into that with your Tennessee boys. I mean, I get it, and it makes sense what you said. You know, you might not see – I mean, I think you'll see Grant a good bit in the regular season, like Billy's saying, and hopefully Admiral and even maybe some Bone too, but – you know, some of these guys will get a lot more time here in the summer league than they will once the season gets going.
I mean, all of them.
All of them, yeah.
You know, with the exception of maybe a guy like Zion. There's, and frankly, Tyler Hero, he has been a walking bucket.
Has he been good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. really, really good. Like, ridiculously good. Like, I did not expect... I was surprised that he got drafted that high because I just didn't see it. But because he was not very good against Tennessee, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, you know, go out of my way to watch a lot of non-Tennessee-Kentucky games. He's looking really good. Impressed for him because didn't see it at all last year. But for me, obviously, Bone's situation's weird. Like, we haven't gotten to see him as much, but he got some good minutes in his first game. We'll see what happens today. Really happy for Kyle because I think we all agree, like, he's probably the least likely to make an NBA team. But if he does what he did yesterday and continues to play like that, he will get paid a good amount of money to play basketball somewhere. And that's ultimately the goal. And I think even if you're, Rick Barnes, it's going to be great to point to Grant and to Abril and to Jordan and say, yeah, these guys made a roster. They look really good. They're playing. They're going to develop their game. But if a guy like Kyle makes it, I think that's just one more feather in the cap on the recruiting trail. Like, yeah, we got this. It's starting to wonder, though, were there maybe just not enough shots to go around with this great squad last year? Mm. Maybe they robbed from each other as far as their individual greatness. And Grant, because he shoots the highest percentage shots, maybe he was just kind of lucky with what he played.
Or maybe they didn't get enough shots because of other players on the team that are still on the team.
I know where you're going with that. And
I'm not throwing hate. I'm just saying, like,
no, you're not.
When you have three NBA talents on your team, like, come on.
Maybe don't dribble up the floor last second against LSU and heave an off-balance three. Is that what you're...
Right. And I think everyone knows who we're talking about, Lamonte. When he takes smart shots, like, he's a good player, and you would never complain about the shots that he takes. But when they're not smart, then you're just taken away from the best talent on the court.
Yeah, and I mean, you ran sets for him in overtime of the game you lost at the end of the season. So that, to me, that was the weirdest part.
Well, Grant was on the bench.
Well, not at that point.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And this was later. But, I mean, that's almost more unforgivable than a guy pushing the ball up the court and taking a shot too early at the end of the LSU game. I mean, in that, it's a little chaotic. It's a little whatever. Rick Barnes complained he couldn't take a timeout to kind of reset things.
Can now.
But, like, you walked the ball up the floor and called a play for Lamonte Turner in overtime against Purdue when you had Grant, Admiral, and Bone on the court.
Hmm.
To me, that's just really, really odd. But
maybe they were trying to trick him. Lamonte, in fairness, was, like, maybe the most clutch player at times. I mean, he buried Kentucky 2 years in a row from the same spot on the floor. He hit some really big threes at times, in fairness. Just throwing that out there. He's got the clutch gene.
We joke a lot about the NBA during the regular season especially. But I think the whole NBA free agency drama might actually get me to watch more regular season next year because I think it'll matter.
I agree with you because I don't think we're just kind of sitting around, the East was way worse than the West, but you knew ultimately, I think we knew, I felt like I knew, and it proved true. We knew who was coming out of the West, so it was kind of like, all right, just get me to that point. Let's see who Golden State faces. But, of course, Toronto kind of catches fire, gets, a couple lucky breaks with the Durant injury and then re-injury and the Clay injury. Ultimately wins it, and then yes, now free agency has turned this league upside down. And I agree. I think there's reason to watch more games now. Like all your studs aren't on one team. You've got really good duos now throughout the league in both conferences. Obviously Durant, it'll take him a little bit to get back. Probably Golden State will still have Draymond and Steph waiting on Clay to get back from the ACL. But there's a lot of good players kind of spread out, and we still don't know where Russell Westbrook's going to go.
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you. And then on teams that don't have those superstars, we're going to have Tennessee players that we can keep an eye on from time to time.
It's true.
I agree 100%. And it might be good, depending on how Tennessee's basketball season goes, to have some other basketball worth watching, because I'll admit that I'm kind of scared for 2019 as it stands right now.
Well, there are points in the winter even when Tennessee's good on a Friday night when, it's weather's kind of crummy, you just end up staying at home.
Yeah.
And I pull 100%. Up the sports schedule, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Friday night. It's just all NBA. There's nothing going on in college. There's no other sports going on. You know, I don't know, maybe some hockey or something. But, again, it's not the playoffs at that point either. So it'll be nice to be like, oh, Clippers are playing the Celtics? Don't mind if I do. You know, like last year, not tuning into that game, right? But now it's like, oh, Clippers might be able to make a deep run into the playoffs with their stars. And, hey, Grant Williams is playing 20 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like,
mm-hmm.
It'll be refreshing.
I would be remiss not to mention Kara Lawson on the bench for the Celtics last night. Brad Stevens heaping praise for the former Lady Vol. She
just made her athletic director instead of John Curry.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I had her on my list. Just saying.
I mean, it would have gone better.
I mean, we can go back and dig through the tape, but I'm like 99% sure I had Charles Davis, Kara Lawson, and Philip Fulmer on my list.
Honk for Blackburn.
I think I had her on my
big board.
Well, it's weird too. Like, I had her on my Coach the Lady Vols please list, and the rumor was, this is what I heard, oh, she's not interested in coaching. Boom, the Celtics. I'm like, oh, well, maybe we just didn't call the right former point guard here. No offense to Kelly Jolly Harper, who I've heard is the real deal. But we'll see. But, yeah, Kara Lawson, she's a baller. She's the consummate professional, and I think she's going to do a really, really good job for the Celtics. And I feel like her affiliation with ESPN for so long, it's not like she's this random former collegiate player,
right,
you know?
Yeah, she's...
These guys will have seen her. They will know who she is, and I know the moment any of the staff in Boston or players or anything like that meet her and they get to spend some time with her, they will be impressed because, I mean, I don't know anybody that's going to work harder at what they do than Kara Lawson. She's a very driven individual.
Well, Roberto wraps up what we'll all be thinking if these guys, you know, do have really good NBA seasons and then ultimately careers. 3.5 NBA players and got bumped out of the tourney in 2 years by a decent but peaking Purdue team in the Sweet 16 and in the round of 32 by Loyola Chicago is peak Barnes. $5 million for that. Ready this tweet. Hope I made fun of for a couple of years.
Coach K had Zion Reddish. I mean, it happens. It's just different because Coach K could point at the resume and say, "It's okay, I'll get
other
us back."
Years, yeah, other years I won the whole thing.
But it happens to good teams too. It's just unfortunate that it happened to this Tennessee team. I get it.
Yeah. The missed opportunities hurt more when you're not there every year.
Yeah,
we'll come back. Final segment, hour number one. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Final segment, hour number one, three and out right here live from the Fan Run Studios. You got all your basketball out now?
Yeah.
Did you know this college football potential sleeper list is from January?
Nope.
Yeah, apparently 24/7 Sports was pretty high on Tennessee from Jump Street.
I mean, I wasn't too interested in Tennessee football in January, I'm just going to be honest.
Like, I don't know what really, I mean, did anything really happen or change? I mean, I guess the list is fine. I mean, it's kind of list season. That's why these things get brought up again. But, I mean, there was the February signing day, I guess. But everybody kind of knew how good you're going to be at that point because most of the guys signed in early in December. But 24/7 Sports got Tennessee fourth on the sleeper list. They did also mention that the projection is for them to be outside the top 25. Which is weird because,
I mean, not really. Considering how good the SEC is, if you lose to three SEC teams, four SEC teams, you could still be a really good team and just be outside the top 25.
Well, yeah, I guess predicting where a team's going to be in the top 25 is different than ranking the top 25 before the season. I mean, the FPI has Tennessee in the top 15. There's been other people ranking that have Tennessee in the top 25 to start the year. I just thought it was weird that they would be one of your top sleepers and then not have them ranked as high as some of these other places. But projecting the end of the season ranking. No, well, this says preseason projection. So to have them as a top four sleeper, but project them outside the top 25 is
actually
in
the preseason, saying, though.
Yeah.
So they're saying they're not, they haven't done anything to be a top 25, but we think maybe they could be.
Yeah. I guess so. I'll take it. Because TCU is their number one sleeper, and they project them to be 23rd in the top 25 rankings. Which,
cool, gotcha.
Know, some of those are coming out, but obviously the AP and coaches' polls are yet to come.
Here's what they said. Why the Vols are a sleeper. Tennessee hasn't won an SEC East title in more than a decade. I love it when they start with something like that, you know? It just really sets the tone.
Yeah, yeah.
And when's the last time the Vols were picked to be a serious contender in a league dominated by Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Florida, and Georgia during that stretch? Well, it was probably 2016. Jeremy Pruitt inherited a roster barren of explosiveness and premium talent, but that's changing in Knoxville. He signed a top 25 class during the 2018 cycle and followed that up with a haul that may fall inside the top 15 next month because it was January, so he's talking about February. The Nick Saban disciple and defensive guru showed flashes of a turnaround in his first campaign with notable wins over nationally ranked Auburn and Kentucky, but season-long offensive struggles kept the Vols out of the bowl picture. The hire of Georgia OC Jim Chaney was a power move and should rectify those issues in 2019. I mean, do we any disagreement there? Jim Chaney might be an upgrade over Tyson Helton.
You know, it's good that Jeremy Pruitt got his bad coordinator hire out of the way just right out of the
Agree.
Game, you know?
I'd rather start low and get better than go opposite.
It's better than having a great coordinator your first year and being a little better than everybody expected, and that guy becomes hot commodity and gets hired away to be a head coach somewhere else, and then all of a sudden you reset with a guy and you're going through a scheme change. You know, right during years two, three, when you're or four, as you're trying to hit your stride, and you realize, oh crap, I picked a dumbass. Right here during like, will they fire me or will they won't fire me? Range. It's nice to just go ahead and get that out of the game.
Man, who did that? Oh yeah, that's right. I remember now.
I mean, I'm half kidding, but it really is better that way. Like if you're going to miss on a coordinator hire,
you're not half kidding at all. I don't.
It's better to do it in year one.
I don't think anyone thought you were kidding. I think everyone completely agrees with what you're saying.
I mean, I guess he was so bad that you could have lost to Kentucky and Auburn if things had gone differently. And then at 2-10, people or at 3-9, people would have been really worried about the team. But you still would have gotten a pass. You still would have gotten this year to see what happens, even if you gone 3-9 last year. So it's better just whiff on the front end.
Maybe it was a plan. I'll hire a bad one, so everyone knows I'll have a good fall guy. Then I'll go and actually get a good dude, and then we'll make this thing happen. Because now year one's a throwaway.
I mean, Jim Chaney's his biggest recruit this cycle. Like I don't care who they get actually on the team. Like he'll make more of an impact than any one player will.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to call the plays for the player, so he'll have a hand in every yard gained.
Like I saw somebody criticizing Tennessee recruiting. They were saying, like, well, Florida's lost all these players, yet they're still ranked higher than Tennessee in recruiting. It's like, well, okay, that's fine. You can give Jeremy Pruitt a little half minus right now on that, but, I mean, remember, we made fun of him for, like, 40 days and 40 nights
Let's wait until the ink is dry before we say, half minus. It doesn't matter. Tennessee's leading for all the right people. They're in it for all the right people. If they close halfway strong, they'll have another top 15, top 10 class. Maybe even better if they can continue to do that thing where they flip five stars late.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, getting Jim Chaney was...
Yeah, it was the move, without question.
If you're looking, if you're like, I still don't know about Pruitt, and you're looking for something to be optimistic about, like, That's the big one for me this offseason. That's the reason you're going to see Tennessee on this list. It's probably one of the reasons you're going to see them in people's, back end of some top 25s, even to start the year, which seems nuts.
Or right
seems
in the
crazy.
Middle at, 13, 14, 15. People believe, man. And they should. The stats point to some pieces,
Yeah.
Got Ty Chandler. We'll break down that on the start of the next hour, but Ty Chandler, I think his role may look a little bit more like we hoped it would look at times last year. And that's going to involve quarterback Jarek Garantano, who is, according to ESPN, ready to roll, ready to do big things. If Jarek Garantano can win the confidence of Jim Chaney, and if Will Friend can do his job and protect and block a little bit, we might see vintage Jim Chaney just cut it loose and air the football out all the time. Garantano looked good at the Manning Passing Academy, just saying. You know, people who were there said so. Peyton was impressed.
I mean, you want to look at games where the offense played their best. It was because, you know, they got put in bad situations, and then Tyson Elton was just forced to call the passing plays, and they worked.
Hey.
Even when
stack it high and let it fly, baby.
Even when the defense was prepared for it. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two. We'll stay on Tennessee football. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio.